The gunfighter and the tenderfoot drifted southwest. They were in no hurry and stopped often. Wolf spent more and more time on the ground now, only occasionally riding along in the pouch on the pack saddle. The fallen ambushers had had about $100 between them. Frank gave that to Jeff, along with a new bill of sale for the horse.
Those old boys won't be needing them, Jeff. First time we come to, I'll sell the other horses. You can have that money. Be a good grub stake for you.
Grub stake? What an interesting word.
Once, just once, Frank gave Jeff a lesson in the art of pistol shooting. He backed off about 10 paces from a huge old stump, carefully handing Jeff the pistol.
Hit it.
Jeff hit everything but the stump.
I think you better concentrate on learning how to use a rifle, Jeff. You don't need to be wearing a pistol. Out here, somebody's liable to call your hand, make you use it.
I think you're right.
Jeff turned out to be a pretty fair hand with a rifle. After a week of daily practice, he could usually hit what he was aiming at. At a small town livery, Frank sold the spare horses and gave Jeff the money.
Hang on to that. We'll sell the guns at the next town.
I'm gonna have a nice reserve of cash.
You'll need it in the gold camps. Things tend to be a mite expensive.
I'm going to hate to part company, Frank. This has been quite a learning experience for me.
Oh, I'll be around, Jeff. Besides, we got a ways to go yet.
I was hoping I'd get to see some wild Indians.
Not many of those still active, Jeff. But believe me, you really don't want to run into any Indians on the warpath.
But you have, right?
A time or two.
Did you fight them?
When I had to. I avoided a fight whenever I could.
You did?
Damn right. Injuns are mean fighters. Once they got their dander up, they wouldn't cut a man any slack.
Where did all the Indians go?
On reservations, mostly. Those that weren't killed or died from disease or starvation. We're in Ute country now. But it's doubtful we'll see any. They're mostly on reservations down in the southwest corner of the territory.
Doesn't seem fair to me. It was their land, wasn't it?
Wasn't anybody's land, Jeff.
What do you mean?
What happened to the Indians that lived back east when the Pilgrims arrived a couple of hundred years ago?
Why, I guess I don't know.
Shoved out of the way. Moved west. Killed off. Died from disease, that's what. Same thing out here. Easterners, some of them, tend to look down their noses at the way Indians were and are treated out here. But they were done the same way back east for the most part.
I guess they were at that. But the West is so, well, violent.
Blown all out of proportion, Jeff. Because Easterners have a short memory. The West is a new land, just like the East was 200 years ago. Those early settlers in America fought for their right to be here and make something of this land.
You're an educated man, Frank. You've done a lot of thinking about a lot of subjects.
Self-taught, Jeff. I got through part of grade school as a kid, that's all.
But you could have been whatever you wanted to be. I know that. You're a very intelligent man. I noticed those books you carry around with you.
But I settled on being a gunfighter.
Well, I didn't really mean it like that.
I'm just kidding you, Jeff.
Oh, all right. Frank?
Yep?
We're running a little low on supplies.
Yeah, we're about a day and a half out of Salida. We'll provision up close to there at a little place I know near some springs. Salida used to be called South Arkansas. Then some folks renamed it. Whole damn area is tough, so stay close and watch your mouth.
Don't you worry about that. I am your silent partner.
Still lots of hangings in that area. Especially in Buena Vista. It's a mean judge there. I came through there about 5 years ago. Counted 5 bodies swinging out on the edge of town.
You're joking, surely?
Nope. His name's Judge Lynch.
Now I know you're kidding me.
Nope, sure am not. That's his name. There's also quite a number of whorehouses in those towns. One-Eyed Sally's got the biggest one.
You been in them?
Nope, but I've ridden past them a few times. They do quite a business, let me tell you.
Like Judge Lynch?
That's right. But we'll cut south of that town.
Oh?
Yep, I know a shortcut over to Buffalo Pass. Then we'll follow the Sawatch for a ways down to a stage stop and trading post. After that, it really gets into some wild country. You'll see the beauty of the territory. Something you'll remember for the rest of your life.
Wilder than this?
Son, you haven't seen nothing yet.
Lost all sense of time out here. What is the date?
I think it's November, but I wouldn't take any bets on it.
My word, it'll be Christmas before long.
I reckon so.
You celebrate Christmas, don't you?
No, not in a long time, Jeff.
I always enjoyed the holidays. It's such a wonderful gay time.
You have a family back east?
Oh, yes. My parents, my brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts and lots of cousins.
Think you'll go back someday?
Jeff didn't immediately reply, and Frank understood. The West could cast a powerful spell on a man. It could be pure hell on a woman, but many men who traveled out here ended up staying. The vastness of the West could be hypnotic.
I don't know, Frank. If I can make some kind of living out here, I believe I'll stay.
I thought that might be your answer. Doesn't take long for the West to grab hold on a man.
Jeff looked up at the sky.
Sky looks odd.
Looks like snow. Might be a heavy one, too. Or it might blow past. Anyway, we're only a few miles from the spring. We'll hold up there until it blows over. Give the horses some rest. We'll provision up. Maybe get us a bath.
I itch all over.
Lice.
Disgusting. And my clothes are filthy.
Welcome to the trail, Jeff. It ain't so bad during the spring and summer. Man with a bar of soap can get himself a good wash in a creek or river. It gets tough during the cold months. We'll get our clothes washed there, too. Then the hard pull starts.
How far are we from Durango?
A couple of weeks.
The vastness of the West is very nearly overwhelming. For a couple of days after leaving Denver, I saw people, then nothing.
Lots of time for a man to think.
For introspection?
I reckon.
The trading post Frank mentioned was gone. It burned down.
Well, just be damned.
Now what?
I reckon we ride into town after all.
Buena Vista?
No. Salida's closer. About 5 miles east of here, down that road there. And it's a tad calmer. I got a hotel, too. We'll get us a couple of rooms, sleep in real beds.
After we bathe, I hope.
It was mid-afternoon when the pair rode into town. Just before the ride in, Frank put Wolf in the pouch on the pack saddle and told him to stay put. He did take Wolf into the hotel with him. The desk clerk at the hotel got real huffy about Wolf staying in Frank's room until Frank signed the register. The clerk stared at his name for a moment, swallowing hard a couple of times. When the desk clerk could finally speak, he allowed as how it would be just fine for Wolf to stay in Frank's room.
You go on up to the rooms and take Wolf with you. I gotta do a little banking. Won't take long. Then we'll get us a bath and new duds.
Frank, I think I'd better save my money.
Relax, my treat.
Are you sure? I don't know when I'll be able to repay you.
Don't worry about it, Jeff. I assure you I have ample funds.
At the bank, Frank asked to speak to the manager and was shown into his office. There, Frank opened up a canvas and oilskin pouch and took out one of several bank drafts he carried with him.
Cash is for me?
This is for a lot of money, sir. Are you sure you want to carry this much cash with you?
I'm sure.
We'll be happy to honor this draft, of course.
He again looked at the name.
Are you really...
He pointed to the name on the bank draft.
I am in the flesh. You have a problem with that?
Oh, no, sir, not at all. I shall be right back with your money.
Told you it wouldn't take long. You ready for a bath and some new duds?
I am.
Bring Wolf.
Is he gonna get a bath too?
He sure is.
Frank bought them new clothes at a general store. Then they walked over to a barbershop that also advertised hot baths. After Frank finished washing off days of dirt, he dunked Wolf several times in the hot soapy water. They both smelled better, although Wolf didn't seem to appreciate his bath nearly as much as Frank did. All decked out in new clothes and feeling much better, Frank stashed Wolf in the hotel room with a big bowl of stew he'd ordered from the dining room and a wash basin full of water. Then he and Jeff went down to the hotel's dining room for supper. The desk clerk and bank employees had spread the word about Frank Morgan being in town. A crowd gathered in the hotel lobby, including the marshal and all his deputies.
You create more of a stir than the mayor of New York City.
Which is why I try to avoid towns as much as possible. Ignore the people. Let's have something to eat.
After a few minutes of nothing happening, much of the crowd began to drift away, but the marshal and one of his deputies stayed, seated at a table away from Frank and Jeff, drinking coffee and staying ready for trouble. Frank and his new partner ate a tough steak and some undercooked potatoes and overcooked bread and left the dining room, retiring to their rooms.
They should have given us that meal free just for eating it. That was awful.
Sure wasn't anything to write home about. Night, Jeff. I'll see you in the morning.
Are we pulling out then?
If we're not stuck here by heavy snow. If so, we'll wait it out.
Frank took Wolf outside to do his business, taking the steps down the back way to avoid any gawkers that might still be in the hotel lobby. The night air was cold, but the skies were clear and starry. The clouds had drifted on.
We might get out of here tomorrow, Wolf. I hope.